Well, Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you, and I give you all honor and all glory. You are the true King and the true Lord. You know what's in each and every heart here this morning. You know what needs to be changed, what needs to be rearranged. And Father God, we give you full permission to work on our behalf. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Son Jesus. We thank you for the angelic host. And Father God, we thank you that you love us desperately and completely. And you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a growing number of people out there that's falling away at this given time. They're tired of the gospel. They don't see anything, any fruit from what's being preached. So they're giving up, they're hopeless, and they're walking away from God. God always tells us do not grow weary in well-doing, doesn't he? He also tells us not to grow weary in our walk with him. So those who have grown weary and walked away aren't going to feel so good when they find out they should have stayed just one, maybe one day longer, you know, one month longer, because whatever God has spoken, he is surely going to bring to pass. He is not a man that he should lie. And each and every one of us need to understand that when you're called into the kingdom of God, you're called as a warrior. You're not called as a princess just to sit and do nothing, but we signed up in God's army and we're fighting the battle. And we need to be aware that the battle does get rough at times. And we need to be aware that the enemy's, he's relentless and he just pushes and pushes and pushes. And it's up to us to push back and not let him have full and total and complete control of anything, because God is our sufficiency. And this morning, God wants to talk about the prophetic authority and the prophetic life. In Ezekiel 37, verse 4, it says, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you so that you live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will grow back flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you so that you live. Then you should know that I am the Lord." Now, as believers, we have often used this story in Ezekiel 37 as a formula for declaring life into dead situations and relationships and various issues in our life that need resurrection power. Though faith is usually exercised in this declaration of life, we see another more important factor that is behind the success of Ezekiel's command. This was just not a demonstration of prophetic authority, but a powerful result of a prophetic life. If you're going to be a prophet, then live the life of a prophet and quit living the life of the world. If you're professing you're a prophet, then people are watching you. And if you're not living a prophetic life, then you're going to cause people to fall, stumble and fall. Ezekiel had a history with God. I'm asking you this question tonight. You who are leaders or you who are out there, you know, ministering to people, do you have a history with God? Do you know God on a personal basis? Do you speak to God each and every day? If you don't have a personal history with God, then you need to step down and you need to get yourself with a personal relationship with God, so that you can hear God's voice very clearly and be able to lead and guide the people in the right direction. We need to realize that Ezekiel came to that valley with a history, an amazing journey of surrender, radical obedience, and a sanctified life. When he went to the valley of dry bones, he went there with a history with God, an amazing journey of surrender, radical obedience, and a sanctified life. Everybody wants the glory, and nobody wants to fight. They don't want to give up anything. They just want the glory. It is this key ingredient that makes Ezekiel's declaration so incredible, and the single most important ingredient that is desperately needed today in a church for effective prayer. I've been reading where they're saying that there's not enough prophets in the land, and also been reading where there's false prophets in the land. Now, I don't know if there's enough prophets in the land or not, but if you're working for that prophetic calling, then you're going to have to die to yourself. No more flesh can be seen. You have to die for yourself. And we're going to find out some things here this morning. All right, without this ingredient, you know, having a history with God, our prophetic declarations may be sincere and heartfelt, but lacking in power. So what is Ezekiel's history? After Assyria conquered Israel, the Jews were scattered, and Ezekiel lived with the other Jewish exiles in Babylon. They were lost, angry, and without cause. And though Ezekiel came from a priestly line, the Lord called him as a prophet to his people. Who called him as a prophet? God. There are too many self-called prophets. And the world will find out that God didn't call you, that you called yourself. So don't go around and saying, I'm a prophet, if God has not called you to be a prophet. You can prophesy, but that does not make you a prophet. There's a difference. And though Ezekiel came from a priestly line, the Lord called him a prophet to his people. Unfortunately, God did not only told him that the people wouldn't listen to him. I want prophets to know people are not going to listen to you. They are not, because you're not telling them what they want to hear. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. The voice said, Son of man, stand up and I will speak with you. Then the priest came into me and lifted me up on my feet, and I listened to the one who spoke to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to speak to the family of Israel. Those people and their ancestors turned against me many times. They have sinned against me many times, and they are still sinning against me today. I am sending you to speak to them, but they are very stubborn. They are very hard-headed, but you must speak to them. You must say, this is what the Lord God says. They are people who refuse to obey, so they may not listen to you. But even if they don't stop sinning, at least they will know that there is a prophet living among them. See that? You know, you just take the word as a prophet. You don't have to make that word come to pass. You just give the word. Son of man, don't be afraid of the people or what they say. You hear that? Son of man, don't be afraid of the people or what they say. It is true. They will turn against you and try to hurt you. Their words will be sharp like thorns and will sting like scorpions, but don't be afraid of what they say. They are people who refuse to obey, but don't be afraid of them. What did they do to Jesus? Jesus was a prophet, right? They turned against Jesus too, did they not? So if they turned against Jesus, they're going to turn against you. So don't think just because God sent you out there as a prophet that people are going to admire you, because they are not. But if you notice one thing, false prophets always get a throne. The world always admires them, a false prophet, but a true prophet they shun. Verse 7 said, you must tell them what I say. Whether they listen or not, they are people who usually refuse to listen. Son of man, listen to what I am telling you. Don't turn against me like those people who refuse to obey. Now open your mouth to receive the words I will give you to speak. Then I saw an arm reach out toward me. It was holding a scroll with words written on it. It rolled a scroll open in front of me. Words were on the front and on the back of the scroll. There were all kinds of sad songs, sad stories, and warnings. Unfortunately, God not only told him that the people wouldn't listen to him, but also that things would get worse before they got better. All right? Now, this is a teaching to you in here that you, either you're a minister or you are ministering in some way, shape, or form. You might be an evangelist. You just might be a person that ministering to people. And God is trying to warn you today that people are not going to accept you. So don't get discouraged and don't be downcast. You're not out there to be glorified. You're out there to give the words of the Father. And what the people do with them or what they do to you does not matter. All right? The Jews would see Jerusalem fall before they were ready for God's intervention. Ezekiel's job was to warn his brethren about the impending destruction and call them back to God. That was the only job he had to do. All right? Remember, I told you, God told me you can't get them saved. You just give them the word, and what they do with the word is entirely up to them. And I'm telling you that this morning. You just give them the word. It doesn't matter how they fuss with you or what they say. You give them the word and then let them do with the word what they want to. All right, Ezekiel's job was to warn his brethren about the impending destruction and call them back to God. In doing so, God asked Ezekiel to do some extremely insane things. And Ezekiel 12:11 says, "Tell them, I am an example for all of you. What I have done will happen to you. You will be forced to go to a faraway country as prisoners." Ezekiel was to be a signpost to the people, meaning that he was supposed to demonstrate God's messages in very specific ways. He was not to simply speak prophetic words, but to live a prophetic life. Are you understanding this? As he demonstrated humility and a willingness to follow at all costs, people around him would see God's will in action. Consider the things Ezekiel was asked to do. Number one, he was to eat a scroll of mourning and lament to have God's heart for intercession. Ezekiel 3 verses 1 through 4 tells us, "God said to me, Son of man, eat what you see. Eat this scroll and then go tell these things to the family of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he put the scroll into my mouth. And then God said, Son of man, I'm giving you this scroll. Swallow it. Let that scroll fill your body. So I ate the scroll. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then God said to me, Son of man, go to the family of Israel and speak my words to them." That was his first instruction. Number two, be tied up with ropes in his own home and not be able to speak until the Lord allowed him. Ezekiel 3 verses 25. "Son of man, people will come with ropes and tie you up. They will not let you go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth. You will not be able to talk, so they will not have anyone to teach them that they are doing wrong, because they are always turning against me. But I will talk to you, and then I will allow you to speak. But you must say to them, this is what the Lord God says. If a person wants to listen, fine. If a person refuses to listen, fine. But those people always turn against me." And the third thing he wanted him to do is lay on his right side for 390 days, and then on his left side for 40 days to symbolize Israel's years of rebellion. Ezekiel 4, verse 1. "Son of man, take a brick and scratch a picture on it. Draw a picture of a city, the city of Jerusalem. And then pretend you are an army surrounding the city. Build a dirt wall around the city to help you attack it. Build a dirt road leading up to the city wall. Bring battering rams and set up army camps around the city. And then take an iron pan and put it between you and the city. It will be like an iron wall separating you and the city. In this way you will show that you are against it. You will surround the city and attack it. This is an example for the family of Israel to show that I will destroy Jerusalem. Then you must lie down on your left side. You must do this thing that shows that you are taking the sins of the people of Israel on yourself. You will carry the guilt for as many days as you lie on your left side. You must bear the guilt of Israel for 390 days. In this way, I am telling you how long Israel will be finished. One day equals 1 year. After that time, you will lie on your right side for 40 days. This time, you will bear the guilt of Judah for 40 days. One day equals 1 year. I am telling you how long Judah will be punished. You see that? One day equals 1 year. So how many years was that they were going to be punished? 40, right? Is that right? 40 years. Now, the fourth thing he was supposed to do, shave his head and beard, which is usually unlawful for a Jew. Ezekiel 5, verse 1, "Son of man, after your famine, you must do this. Take a sharp sword and use it. Take a barber's razor, shave off your hair and beard, put the hair on a scale, and weigh it. Separate it into three equal parts. Put a third of your hair on the brick that has a picture of the city on it. Burn that hair in that city. Then use a sword and cut a third of your hair into small pieces all around the outside of the city. Next, throw a third of your hair into the air and let the wind blow it away. This will show that I will pull out my sword and chase some of the people into faraway countries. But then you must get a few of those hairs and wrap them up in your robe. Take some of those hairs and throw them into the fire. This will show that a fire will start there and burn throughout the whole house of Israel. Now, are you really a true prophet? Is God asking you to do unusual things to demonstrate what he is doing in the world? I want you to ask yourself this. In all the years that you profess to be a prophet, were you really? I'm not saying you aren't, but I want you to seek yourself. Am I really a prophet of God? Is he really using me the way he used the prophets in the days of old? The fifth thing that Ezekiel had to do was prophesy death and destruction to his brethren. Prophesy death and destruction to his brethren. Ezekiel 11, verse 9. He also said, I will take you out of this city and give you to strangers. I will punish you. You will die by the sword. I will punish you here in Israel, so you will know that I am the Lord. Yes, this place will be the cooking pot, and you will be the meat cooking in it. I will punish you here in Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. It was my law that you broke. You did not obey my commands. You decided to live like the nations around you. As soon as I finished speaking for God, Pelah, son of Benaniah, died. I fell to the ground. I bowed my face, touching the ground. I said, O Lord God, you are going to completely destroy all the survivors of Israel. Ezekiel was understanding what God was about to do. I'm really admonishing you, if you're professing to be a prophet, to make sure you understand what God is doing and be so yielded to God that only he speaks through your lips and not your flesh. That you're not out there trying to make yourself look important, but that God is truly using you to minister to his people. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Son of man, you live among people who refuse to obey me. They have eyes to see what I have done for them, but they don't see those things. They have ears to hear what I told them to do, but they don't hear my commands because they are rebellious people. Isn't that what's going on in the house of God? And that's what's going on all across the land today. Son of man, pack some things as if you are leaving on a trip. Pretend that you are a prisoner being taken far away. Do this during the day so that everyone can see you, even though these people refuse to listen to me. Maybe when they see you going away, they will understand what I have been trying to tell them. People probably thought he was crazy, right? They said all manner of evil about him. But he was truly a man of God, following God's directions. Verse 4 said, during the day, take your bags outside so that the people can see you. Then in the evening, pretend you are going away. Act as if you are a prisoner going to a faraway country. While the people are watching, make a hole in the wall and go out through the hole in the wall. They really thought he was crazy at that point. Why not go through the gate, right? At night, put your bag on your shoulder and leave. Cover your face so that you cannot see where you are going. You must do these things so that the people can see you, because I am using you as an example to the family of Israel. Many times God's going to use you, if you're a prophet, he's going to use you as an example to what is going to happen to the church. And you will have to go through it first and go through all the pain and degradation, and the church will go through it, but they will watch you go through it, and they will understand what God's doing when he puts them through it. As if these things didn't already test Ezekiel's resolve to humble himself before the Lord in a complete surrender and obedience, he was told one more heart-wrenching command. Let's read that statement again. As if these things didn't already test Ezekiel's resolve to humble himself before the Lord in complete surrender and obedience, he was told one more heart-wrenching command. The Lord told Ezekiel he would take his wife with one blow. Why? To be a sign to Israel of what would happen to Jerusalem, their beloved city. Ezekiel was told he couldn't even mourn her death. And let's look at Ezekiel 24:15. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Son of man, you love your wife very much, but I'm going to take her away from you. Your wife will die suddenly, but you must not show your sadness. You must not cry loudly. You will cry and your tears will fall. But you must mourn quietly, Dress as you normally do, wear your turban and sandals. Don't cover your mustache and don't eat the food people normally eat when someone dies. The next morning I told the people what God had said. That evening my wife died. The next morning I did what God commanded. You really don't want to be a true prophet. You really don't. Because God will have you do things that you really don't want to do, but you do because you're humble before God and you're submissive. And you want God's will to be done. Here was a prophet who had faithfully obeyed every command of the Lord, willing to suffer ridicule, scrutiny, and prophecy, doom and destruction to his fellow Jews. Now he was told that the love of his life would be taken from him as a sign. See this? Scripture doesn't indicate what Ezekiel's initial response was. All we can assume is that he faithfully trusted the Lord's directives just as before. The next chapter simply picks up with the next word the Lord gave him in Ezekiel 25, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Son of man, look toward the people of Ammon and speak against them for me. Say to them, listen to the word of the Lord God. This is what the Lord God says. You were happy when my holy place was destroyed. You were against the land of Israel when it was polluted. You were against the family of Judah when the people were carried away as prisoners. So I will give you to the people from the east. They will get your land. Their armies will set up their camps in your country and will live among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will make the city Rabbah a pasture for camels and the country of Ammon a sheep pen. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. You were happy that Jerusalem was destroyed. You clapped your hands and stamped your feet. You had fun insulting the land of Israel. So I will punish you. You will be like the valuable things soldiers take in war. You will lose your inheritance and die in faraway lands. I will destroy your country. Then you will know that I am the Lord. See what God was doing? He was showing a bunch of rebellious people what he was going to do to them because of their rebellion. It is just three chapters later that we finally get to the Valley of the Dry Bones. This opportunity to see the power God demonstrated before his eyes came after years of obedience and faithfulness to God's word. He didn't see that powerful miracle until after years of obedience to God. It was not just the prophet Ezekiel who stood before those dry bones, but the man Ezekiel. But the man Ezekiel. This is one who had a history with his God, living out every request and following every directive he was given. This is a key ingredient that God gave him the authority to speak to those dry bones in the valley of death. He had already been there and knew what to do. This is a key ingredient that gave him, Ezekiel, the authority to speak to those dry bones in the valley of death. He had already been there and knew what to do. Because he had faithfully demonstrated humility, surrender, and faith in God through the years, those bones immediately responded to his words, and a vast army stood before him full of resurrection power. Because of his life of obedience and faithfulness, the man Ezekiel had the authority to raise the dead. You want to raise the dead, but what have you done for God? What have you given up? What have you sacrificed? How humble are you before the Father? I hope you're thinking about this. And I hope it's taking effect on you. And you're rethinking of what you really are doing or want to do for the Father. Today we have a huge valley of dry bones before us and our communities, our cities, and nation. We see biblical values dying, the decay of morals and our absolutes, as well as a complete absence of the fear of the Lord. We desperately need supernatural intervention, the power of resurrection life, and a revival of passion for the Lord. Though we know that God can raise the dead to life, the question is, number one, can our prophetic declarations be backed up by personal history with God? And number two, do our lives reflect consistent surrender and absolute obedience to what he's already said? And number three, have we so focused on the formulas of words or presumed rights to spiritual authority that we have totally missed the most important ingredient? Are you listening? The strongholds we face today and the principalities that are threatening our communities and nation will not be overcome by a power confrontation. The strongholds we face today and the principalities that are threatening our communities and nation will not be overcome by a power confrontation. It will not be a test of the wills or the level of passion or the hours of prayer that will determine the outcome. The enemies of God will be defeated by a holy and humble people who have demonstrated the rule of God through their lives and practices. It is a righteous life that will totally disarm the enemy and release the power to bring new life. These are not just values, but heart issues that must be tested and tried, just as they were for Ezekiel. I pray that the words God spoke to Ezekiel about Israel would be true for us today in Ezekiel 36:23. God said, I will show the nations how holy my great name really is. You ruined my good name in those nations, but I will show you that I am holy. I will make you respect my name, and then those nations will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Lord God said. You know, all the nations watch America. And look what America's doing, especially to their president. How corrupt has America really fallen to? If we turn back a few chapters, we hear God say to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33:10, so son of man, speak to the family of Israel for me. They might say, we have sinned and broken the law. Our sins are too heavy to bear. We rot away because of them. What can we do to live? You must say to them, this is what Ezekiel has to say. The Lord God says, by my life, I swear that I don't enjoy seeing people die, not even evil people. I don't want them to die. I want them to come back to me. I want them to change their lives so that they can really live. So come back to me. Stop doing bad things. Why must you die, family of Israel? And this is what God is saying to the fallen church today. I don't enjoy seeing people die, not even evil people. This is what God's saying. I don't want them to die. I want them to come back to me. I want them to challenge their lives so that they can really live. So come back to me. Stop doing bad things. Why must you die, family of Israel? Verse 12 says, son of man, tell your people the good things people did in the past will not save them if they become bad and begin to sin. In the same way, the bad things people did in the past will not destroy them if they turn away from their evil. So remember, the good things people did in the past will not save them if they begin to sin. In other words, grace is being preached and saying you can do whatever you want to and still be saved. That's not true. Read your word. It's in the word over and over again. You cannot keep going back to sin and still go to heaven. Remember the one young man I ran across in Pennsylvania his father was a pastor of a church and he was working in the church, but one day he told his family when he was in his early 20s, I'm quitting church and I'm going to go out on the road. And I'm going to get me another job. And this is what he did. And he didn't, you know, he just quit the church. And he was driving a cheese truck up in Pennsylvania. And one day in the winter, the truck went over the mountain, killed him, and he died. And he went to heaven. And God said, I'm sending you back. And I want you to tell the people there, you can't rely on a deathbed repentance. Because this is what he always told his dad, right before I die, I'll repent. And he has a big church up in Alaska right now. He's went around the world here telling people that you can't rely on a deathbed repentance and how you have to. He has a big church. He's really walking for God with all his might. But see, God used him to warn the people. And I hear so many people say, well, right before I die, I'll just ask God to forgive me. But you don't know when you're going to die. And you don't know how you're going to die. And you don't know if you have a last breath at that point. All right. Verse 13. Maybe I will tell good people that they will live, but maybe those good people will begin to think that the good things they did in the past will save them. So they might begin to do bad things, but I will not remember the good things they did in the past. No, they will die because of the bad things they begin to do. Or maybe I will tell some evil people that they will die, but they might change their lives, stop sinning, and begin to live right. They might become good and fair. They might give back the things they took when they loaned money. They might pay for the things they stole. They might begin to follow the laws that give life and stop doing bad things. Then they will surely live, and they will not die. Let's just stop there for a minute. You know, you might prophesy to somebody that, you know, God might even tell you somebody's just stepped over the line and they're done. But yet, and I've watched this in the last couple of years, but yet that person isn't, you know, even though they know they stepped over the line, they're not ready to give in to that. And so they keep crying out to God and crying out to God and crying out to God. And next thing you know, they're turned around and they're serving God again. And God has received them back into his kingdom. Are you listening here? Verse 16 says, I will not remember the bad things they did in the past, because now they live right and are fair, so they will live. This is God speaking to Ezekiel. But your people say, that's not fair. The Lord cannot be like that. But they are the people who are not, they are the people who are not fair. They are the people who must change. Come on. It's not fair, God. They transgressed your laws and they messed up and now you're taking them back. That's not fair. Well, God says, they're not the ones that have to change. You have to change. You have to change your attitude. You have to quit judging. Verse 18, if good people stop doing good and begin to sin, they will die because of their sin. Still God speaking. And if evil people stop doing wrong and start living right and being fair, they will live. You will say that I am not fair, but I am telling you the truth. Family of Israel, everyone will be judged for what they do. Ezekiel is a very good example, excuse me, of a true prophet of God. And in the Old Testament, the prophets were true prophets of God. And God will, I can tell you a truth, that God will use you as an example to the people. I went through a Job experience, and then God said, now, the church is going to start going through a Job experience, and the churches all over the world went and started going through a Job experience. But they watched me go through mine. They watched me lose everything. And they watched everything that God was doing to me. So when it happened to them, it didn't seem like a cruel thing, and because God told him, now the church is going to go through it. When I first started on the scene, God called me as a, I didn't know what God called me as. He called me as an evangelist, all right? And so the churches kept denying me. They kept telling, the pastor kept saying, she's not a God, she's of the devil. And so I went home and I said, one day I said, God, I said, what's going on here? Who am I? What am I doing? And God gave me that scripture where they asked, God asked this people, what did you go out to see? Talk about John the Baptist, a reed shaken in the wind. And he said, no, a prophet. And he gave me that scripture, and he said, you are a prophet that I've called to the nations, and I'm going to send you forth with a message, just like you did Ezekiel. And he said, I'm going to send you to the churches. I'm going to have you minister to the ministers, because they're not right, and I need them to get their lives right. He said, you're going to go and they're not going to receive anything you have to say. But don't look at that. Don't look at their faces. I'm making your forehead as hard as flint and your backbone as steel. He said, you just go and give my word and don't pay attention to what they're doing. And I was in a church one time up in Pennsylvania. And for some reason or other, I don't like to sit in the front row. I just don't like to do that. I'm not being honored, Jesus says. So I told the minister, I said, I don't want to sit in the front row. Don't mind him, I sat in the very back row. And I don't know why I did that. I do now, but I didn't then. So during praise and worship, God said to me, turn your back to the people and sing to the wall. And so I did that. And when praise and worship was all over with, the pastor called me up there and he said, how come you turned your people back to the people and worshiped the wall? He said, you disgraced the people. And then I had to explain to them that God told me to do that. And lo and behold, I found out that the pastor wasn't right. Most of his congregation wasn't right. And God was turning his back on them. And the word spread out that I was not a God throughout the community. And they said, whatever she did in your churches, tell your people not to listen to it. And whatever prophetic words she spoke, tell them to throw them away. But that's all right. I still know what God called. I know God's called me a prophet. And I do know that God does speak to me. And I know that, it just like, all right, so, you know, I was from the country and I was very innocent. I didn't know, when I was got pregnant, didn't know how I got pregnant. That's how innocent I was. So I'm not like you young kids now at 9 years old, you know how to have sex. We weren't taught that. But so anyhow, then I got married and had children, and then God called me in the ministry. And all of a sudden, I was around all this perversion. And I said, God, why would you have me get involved in this perversion, be around all these perverted people? He said, I want you to see firsthand what's going on, and I'm going to use you to turn these people back to me. So God will do whatever he wants to with your life. You have to be, if you're really going to be used by God, you're going to have to humble yourself. And, you know, I was a prophet around here. There was another prophet at that point. And then God had me marry my husband, you know, and he wasn't serving God. And everybody said to me that you're not hearing God's voice, and on and on and on and on and on. And then God told me about 4 years into my marriage, is it Homer and Jose, Gomer and Jose, and you have a Gomer and Jose marriage. But through it all, see, Jose was a prophet, right? Hosea turned Gomer back to God. And my job was to turn my husband to God. So God could, and this is what happened. And even though people ridiculed me, people left the church, people said all manner of evil, I was following what God told me to do. I didn't, and God always told me, he said, daughter, don't ever let anybody pull you down to their level. You pull them up to your level. Don't ever compromise. And I've always done that. I've lost a lot of friends because they wanted me to go to their level. They wanted me to preach the way they preach. But I'm doing what God's called me to do. And if you're really going to be a prophet of God, a true prophet of God, and you want God to use you, then you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to do what God wants you to do, whether you want to do it or not. I'm quite sure Ezekiel didn't want to do all these things. I am quite sure he did not. Because I know he's asked me to do many things since I've been preaching that I did not want to do. But God said, daughter, you have to obey my voice. You have to do what I'm asking you to do. It's going to save souls. So all you people, and you wives and you husbands in here, you think, you know, you're looking to your husband or your wife to supply your needs. You're looking in the wrong place. You need to keep your eyes upon Jesus, and you need to do what God's calling you. No matter what they're doing, you get your eyes on Jesus and you keep them there, and you might go in through a lot of pain and heartache. That's fine, because you're claiming to want to follow Jesus. You're claiming to want to walk in his footsteps. Then sometimes you're going to suffer a lot. You're going to suffer a lot. I'm not even going to say sometimes, because God told me right up front, daughter, you were born to suffer, and you will suffer as you walk for me. I have. So I'm not upset about it. Right up front, I knew what God was calling me to do. I knew what was going to happen to me, and I just did it. Believe it or not, I never really read Ezekiel till about 5 years ago. I said I should have read that day one, right? But God knew exactly when he wanted me to read something. He always does this. He doesn't place anything in front of my eyes until I'm ready to receive it. And he's going to do the very same thing to you. When he called me into ministry, I was 50. And I said, God, look at all the years I wasted. He said, you didn't waste any years. All those years were training years. So any one of you, doesn't matter how old you are, when God calls you into ministry, you didn't waste anything, or everything you went through was training. And as I look back at my life, I know now that I was trained from day one to lead people. And, you know, as I look back now, but I didn't realize that when it was happening. So whatever you're going through up to this day, it's for what God is calling you forth to do. And he's going to call you forth to do things that are going to hurt people sometimes. They're not going to understand. Because he has to use you as a prophet to tell the truth, to bring the truth out into the open so the people can be set free. Because God, if he tells you the truth, then the truth should set you free. If it doesn't set you free and it sets you in a tizzy, then there's still things in you that God needs to get out of you. Because nothing should really bother you if God's in it. If God's in it, nothing should really bother you. Amen. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you really going to humble yourself and let God use you? You know, you don't even have to be called as a prophet, but God is calling prophets into the ministry right now. He is taking people who've been in the ministry, who have not been prophets. He's told me he's now putting a mantle on them to be a prophet. to the new people that are coming in to the house of God? Are you willing to be a prophet? Are you willing, you know, not just to prophesy, but are you willing to be a prophet? And if you are, then get ready to lose everything. Come on. Get ready to lose everything because God's going to humble you. But what happened to Job? He lost everything, but in the end, he had more than he had in the beginning. So God might be stripping you right now. But if you allow him to go ahead and finish the stripping, you're going to have more in the end when he's finished stripping you than he had when he first started stripping you. There was a young man, there was a young man who used to come to church, and he died of cancer, but he used to always say to me, he'd say, little one, God's stripping us like he does an onion, one layer at a time. And, you know, that's so true. As I didn't quite understand that when he told me that because I had just gotten started. But I watch what God does, and he takes off one layer at a time. Because he couldn't take the whole thing or we'd die, right? So he just peels away one layer at a time. So as he's peeling away each layer in your life, let him. Just let him do that. Let him strip you. Let him make you the vessel he wants you to be, not the vessel that you want to be. Are you listening here? As many times as a prophet, I go before God because God has done many, many miracles through me. And I say, God, why aren't you doing for me what you did for them? Are you listening? And he said, you just walk with me and don't worry about what I'm doing with other people. And I'm talking about, let's say, sickness or money, something like that. I'm not talking about wealth or anything. But as a prophet, you just obey. What did Jesus do as a prophet? Just obeyed. People came at him. He just kept obeying. He just kept going to the Father, kept praying. He knew who he was. See, this is the difference. And I know who I am in Christ Jesus. But as I have traveled through this country, I've noticed a lot of people don't know who they are. And that's why they get jealous and envious. Because they really don't know who they are in Christ. And so then they're afraid you're going to take their place. And if you know who you are in Christ, nobody can take your place. Because you, God put you in that place. And I'm hearing God say, how many of you are really going to stand up for Jesus in this end time hour? How many of you are really ready to go into battle for the name of Jesus? How many of you are really ready to forsake all for the sake of Jesus? It's time we stand up. And it's time we do what God is calling us forth to do. A lot of people look at me and they envy me. They don't know what I go through to go to be where I'm at today. You know, unless you ask God, let me see them through your eyes, you're never going to know what a person's going through. God, let me see them as you see them. That's my heart cry every day. I say, God, let me see people as you see them. I don't want to look at you through my eyes because I could see the dirt, the junk. But if you say, God, let me look through your eyes, what you see is the heart. You see the pain. You see all that junk that's in there. And I'm asking each one of you this morning to start saying, God, let me see through your eyes. Let me quit judging. Let me quit seeing in the natural. And see, as you see in the spiritual realm, that's when God can really use you to prophesy. Because what you prophesy is what's in the spirit realm. You aren't prophesying what's out here in the natural realm. And I'm hearing God said, today is a day of resurrection power. Do you really want to be resurrected? Do you really want to be brought out of that world 100% and into God's kingdom 100%? Or are you just comfortable in that neutral zone where you're never going to be attacked, you know? Everybody's going to think you're just so wonderful and glorious. Are you ready to hide your pain and just go forth and work for God? That's his question to you. And many times you're going to be like Jesus. Jesus hid his pain, and what did he do? He said, I think I'll go and pray for a second. You guys stay here. He went to the mountain to the Father, and he gave all his pain to the Father. Then he came back and ministered to the people. Are you understanding this? Too many times we want to go to somebody and just start saying, do you know what? Look at this, look at that, look at the other. That's wrong. You need to go to the Father. He'll explain to you about everything that's going on in your life. And then you'll save face. And God will be able to work through you to help other people. Our lives are full of up and downs. And you know, before a lot of people, I've always served God. Never wasn't born again until I was 50, but always served God. So I didn't go down into some of the valleys that some people have gone into. He's kept me all my life. Kept me a holy person, a righteous person all my life. But I'm saying to you today, God can keep you too. You don't have to do the things you do. God can keep you. I was married 4 years with my husband, and he told me, he said, I don't love you. I'm never going to touch you again as long as we're together. We can stay together and raise our 3 daughters, but I don't love you anymore. So I crawled out of bed and went to the Father, and I said, God, if this is the case, because I made a promise to God, I said, God, I will never get a divorce, because I came from a divorced family. As long as I live, I will always stay married and raise my children. But I said, I was a feisty little thing, you know, hot number, you know. And I said, God, I said, please take away every desire from me. I'm going to live in this house with this man, raise these 3 children, and I don't want to be a harlot. So I want you to take every desire away from me. And he did. And he kept me. And never bothered me. Are you understanding this? Don't tell me that God won't keep you, because he will. Don't tell me, well, you know, I have needs. God put needs in me. No, you don't. You have lust. You have lust. Because God can keep you. He can keep you pure and he can keep you holy. God is still on the throne this morning. He hasn't fallen off. And he still wants to minister to his people. Now, if you're ready to be another Ezekiel, even another Hosea, because Hosea went through a lot of ridicule for what God had him do. God says the altar's open because he's going to give you the strength and the courage and the power to go through the rest of your life serving him 100%, no matter what comes your way.